Good morning and welcome to Dexus Investor Presentation. This call has been arranged by Dexus to discuss the announcements made today. Due to legal reasons, Dexus will be unable to discuss the practicalities, process, or details around the capital raising. Dexus will be able to discuss the acquisitions and the reasons behind the capital raisings and provide an opportunity for questions at the end of the formal presentation. I would now like to hand over to Darren Steinberg, CEO and Executive Director of Dexus, to commence the presentation.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us to hear about this exceptional acquisition. We've waited a long time to find a property in the Paris end of the Melbourne CBD to create a One Farrer Place type opportunity. And when you combine this with the proposed development of 60 Collins Street, we will create one of Melbourne's best office precincts in an area where our customers want to be. Firstly, I'd like to apologise to those of you who had confirmed your attendance to our North Shore property tour, which has been postponed because of today's announcement. But rest assured, we'll be getting back to you with an alternate date shortly. Today, I'm joined by Kevin George and Ross DuVernay, who will talk through details around the transaction and some of the property specifics, as well as Alison Harrop for questions on the financials. Turning to the overview of the transaction on slide 2, we are pleased to announce the acquisition of the 80 Collins Street precinct in the eastern core or Paris end of the Melbourne CBD for $1.5 billion. The precinct comprises an existing A-grade office tower in addition to three components which are currently under development, including a new premium office tower, a new retail podium, and a new 255-room boutique hotel. The vendor is effectively retaining responsibility for the development of the new components of the precinct. Dexus will be directly acquiring 75% of the property on balance sheet, with Dexus Wholesale Property Fund, a circa $10 billion diversified wholesale fund, acquiring the remaining 25% interest. This builds on our track record of investing alongside DWPF and is consistent with the fund's strategy of owning high-quality assets in core markets. Today, we are also undertaking an equity raising that comprises a fully underwritten $900 million institutional placement at a fixed price of $12.10 per security to partly fund the acquisition, and have announced we will undertake a security purchase plan for eligible Australian and New Zealand security holders of up to $50 million at the same price. The new securities issued will be entitled to the full distribution for the 6 months ending 30th of June 2019. Dexus will pay for the acquisition in four separate tranches, with the first two tranches funded via the equity raising. From a financial perspective, the transaction maintains our balance sheet strength and conservative gearing, while also being accretive to both NTA and FY20 distribution per security. Today, we are also providing preliminary FY20 guidance for distribution per security growth of circa 5%. I'll now hand you over to Kevin.
Thanks, Darren, and good morning, everyone. This acquisition represents an exciting opportunity for Dexus and DWPF. I'd like to start off by giving you some insight into our rationale. Having significant scale in markets helps us to better leverage our platform and achieve outperformance. Melbourne has been a particular focus given its strong population growth and net absorption and growth forecasts that outpace the growth of Sydney over the next decade. Equally important, however, is the quality of the real estate, and as Darren mentioned, we think our patients will be rewarded with this asset. The precinct includes 92,500 square metres of prime grade office space, including a soon-to-be-completed premium office tower with strong sustainability credentials. 80 Collins Street provides a rare opportunity for us to invest in a whole corner block precinct located in Melbourne's tightly held eastern core. Dexus will own or manage circa 20% of the stock in this location post the acquisition, and the subsequent development of our neighbouring site at 52 and 60 Collins Street, which we acquired last year. Dexus's office portfolio weighting to the Melbourne CBD increases from 9% to 17%. The complex nature of this transaction has enabled us to secure the asset on very attractive metrics, including an equivalent yield of 5.3% and a forecast IRR of circa 8%. Turning to slide 5. Melbourne's Eastern Core, or what has become known as the Paris End of Collins Street, is a highly sought after location, located close to transport hubs, and is spoilt with a plethora of high-end retail, dining and entertainment, including much of the theatre district. It's also an easy walk to the best sporting precinct in Australia, and some would argue the world. For these reasons, it is the preferred location for the Melbourne premises of national and international companies, many of whom are existing customers of Dexus in other markets. There are some more slides on the positive fundamentals that the Melbourne CBD office market has experienced later in the pack. However, I just wanted to highlight that the vacancy rate is nearing a 30-year low at 3.7% and is well placed to digest the upcoming supply. The Eastern Core vacancy is just 2.1%. Thank you. I'll now hand you over to Ross.
Thanks, Kevin, and good morning, everyone. Turning to slide 7 for those following in the pack. And this really does highlight that this is a complex transaction, but one which is perfectly suited to our strengths and capabilities at Dexus. This is something we pride ourselves in being able to unlock and provide excellent returns to our investor base. The fact that last year we went through a process of buying both 52 and 60 Collins Street means we have a really good insight into what tenants are looking for in this part of the market. Looking at each of the components within the precinct, the North Tower is 95% occupied with the Victorian Government as its major tenant. The low WALE enables us to capitalise on the tower's significant under-rented position over the short to medium term. The South Tower is a premium tower currently under development. It's 63% pre-committed with a further 24% in negotiations. The retail podium is substantially pre-committed and comprises luxury retail and world-class dining options. And the hotel, although not a core asset class we invest in, is leased to a quality operator for 10 years. The South Tower, retail podium and hotel are all expected to complete in early FY21. In terms of the deal structure, the vendor, QIC, will stay on as the development manager and deliver the project with oversight from Dexus, and our leasing team will take control of leasing day one. We receive a coupon on the non-income producing components of the asset during the construction at a rate of 5.4%, and there's some short-term income support on the South Tower for any vacancy and to offset the let-up for space vacated by a few tenants who are moving from the North Tower to the South Tower. This really is a leasing story for our asset management business, with 42,000 square metres of office leasing over the next 3 years in a prime part of the Melbourne CBD. 26,000 of this is in the North Tower, where we expect considerable rental reversion. And I should note that the North Tower is also undergoing upgrades as part of the development works being funded by the vendor, including lift upgrades, a new lobby, and end-of-trip facilities. Slide 8 looks at the impact on our portfolio. As Kevin has already mentioned, the acquisition will increase Dexus's office portfolio exposure in the Melbourne CBD from 9% to 17%, and increasing our office portfolio NLA to 1.6 million metres. We've been keen to increase our exposure in Melbourne for some time, but for us, there has to be quality, and this certainly fits the bill in terms of both asset and the location. Slide 10 reinforces the population growth rates forecast in Melbourne, which is the strongest of any of the main Australian cities. I just note that on that slide you can see that the Melbourne population will be close to 7.5 million people by 2036, which is the current size of Hong Kong. Turning to slide 11, this really enforces the current Melbourne office market position. Tenant demand in Melbourne has been very strong, and we expect this to continue. The vacancy rate is low, and while there is some new supply coming, it is largely pre-committed, and we are forecasting the vacancy rate to peak at below the 20-year average. Turning to slide 12. No one has one of the highest effective yields of any office market globally, and it also has some of the strongest rental growth prospects. There is strong investment demand for Melbourne office, and we expect this should continue to support a progressive tightening in cap rates. Turning briefly to slide 14, in terms of placement proceeds, you'll note that the initial transaction proceeds are essentially all equity funded, and we have a second tranche of payment under the development of approximately $274 million, which will be later funded by debt. There is some detail on the timing of those cash flows in the appendices. Now turning to the financial impacts on slide 16. And the transaction is accretive to pro forma NTA by 12 cents and maintains balance sheet strength and a conservative position with pro forma gearing expected to remain below 25%. While the equity raising keeps our gearing below our target range of 30 to 40%, it allows us to fund the third and fourth tranches of the acquisition, as well as gives us capacity to fund projects in our development pipeline, in addition to some flexibility for further opportunities that may arise. Taking into account the transaction, we have reaffirmed our guidance for FY19 and provide preliminary guidance for FY20 of 5% distribution growth per security. More detail around our guidance assumptions will be provided at our annual results presentation, expected to be released on the 14th of August 2019. Further details in relation to the equity raising, including the timetable, are provided on slides 18 to 19 of the presentation. I'll now hand you back to Darren.
Thanks, Ross. So in summary, we are very excited by this opportunity, with the acquisition being right on strategy and providing excellent returns and growth for Dexus security holders over the coming years. The acquisition metrics and structure are attractive due to the complexity of the deal, and we are playing to our strengths and driving the leasing outcomes. The equity raising enables us to maintain a strong balance sheet and provides flexibility to fund our development pipeline and any other opportunities that may arise. That now ends the formal part of today's presentation. We'll now turn to any questions you may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask questions on the phone, please press star 1 and wait for a name to be announced. If you would like to cancel a request, you can also press the pound or hash key. We have our first questions from the line of Darren Leung from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Just a few from me. The first one, just on the acquisition costs, how much of that includes development fees paid to the vendor?
They're not principally included in acquisition costs. They're funded in the development costs.
So of the $1.4 billion, how much of that number is development fees?
We don't have that number. We're buying a property
on an as-complete basis. So
yeah. QIC are dealing with the development costs.
Okay, understand. Just one of the key risks I've noticed, there's a number of sunset clauses in terms of costs to complete. Can you give us a bit more colour around these and sort of where the development can go wrong?
Are you concerned that delays in the project will result in project cost increase on the account of Dexus? Is that the concern?
Yes, just because the numbers are quite big. So, one of the numbers I'm looking at is $1.345 billion.
So the financial consequence of any delay in the project sits with the vendor, and there's a significant warranty and claims packages behind that. I also note that we have a very high quality builder in Multiplex delivering the project, and the project is actually physically anyway, it's about 70% complete. So we're not concerned, but in the event there is delay, that is on the account of the vendor, and the coupon as it relates to the South Tower would continue on until we reach practical completion.
Great, thank you. And then just two sort of quick ones. What is the passing yield on completion, please?
In the order of 5, noting that the North Tower is under rented.
Thank you. And this is the final one. I noticed in the guidance comments, it's talking to industrial like-for-like growth of 8%. Can you give us a bit more colour as to what's driving that, please?
There's been a few one-offs that have come through this year, but it's no one factor.
Great. Thanks, guys.
No worries.
Thank you for the questions. Next question comes from the line of Ben Brayshaw from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Hi, Darren. Thanks for the presentation. Just my first question is in regards to the value attribution between the components. Would you be able to perhaps just talk through or touch on how much value you attribute to the office versus, you know, non-office component? Just be interested to get to your thoughts on approximate price per square metre paid for the two office towers, please.
Yep, right. The office towers are in the order of, let's call it, a bit over 80% the total valuation.
Yep, okay, thank you. Further to Darren's first question on the initial yield, when the tranches have been funded, does that step up over a period of time, or is the circa 5% yield, is that effectively a stabilised yield going forward and it just grows normally?
We will expect it to grow. There is some step ups in the hotel lease and obviously the under renting in the North Tower, but for modelling purposes, I would assume some modest growth from that level.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the questions. Next question comes from the line of Rob Freeman from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Could you just talk about the decision to use fresh equity for this opportunity, please, versus the exchangeable recently on MLC?
Yeah, look, I suppose when we looked at the opportunity here, we had several approaches from third-party capital joining the transaction. Obviously, as it was well sort of recorded in the press, there's a lot of third-party capital looking to get set in Melbourne at the moment. But when we got through the due diligence, saw the strength in the returns, we thought it was a sensible use of capital from Dexus's perspective. To take as much as we possibly could at this point in time. The ability to do that in conjunction with an equity raise that adds to NTA leaves us with an excellent property in the heart of Melbourne. It grows our distributions and enables us to maintain balance sheet strength. We thought that was a sensible way to move forward with this transaction at this point in time.
But just in terms of the suite of opportunities obviously available, whether it be development or stabilised. I mean, clearly we're very late in the office cycle. We're talking about a 5% passing yield with pretty limited growth. Like, why was this compelling enough to tap investors for $1 billion?
I don't think anyone's saying that this has got limited growth on it at all. I think when you look at the return metrics on this versus a lot of our existing portfolio and other acquisition opportunities in the market over the last 2 to 3 years, this will stand out exceptionally well. And as a use of our capital, we think it is exactly the place where we can connect.
And so if Dexus is a buyer...
Right, and the returns will show that over the coming years.
And so if Dexus is a buyer of this product, obviously at a 5% passing yield, what would the decision process look like for Dexus to sell a building in this environment?
I think we look at total return. We don't yield. Passing yield is just one factor that we look at. An IRR of circa 8, which I'm hoping that the team will pleasantly exceed, is an exceptional 10-year return for capital in this environment and this market for the risk that we're taking, which is predominantly leasing risk, which in the last 7 to 8 years we have bought and sold a lot of properties, but our leasing team has delivered in 7 years in all kinds of markets on their underwrites. So we're very comfortable with the numbers we put forward today.
And I think you'll find over the next 2 to 3 years, the returns on this post-stabilisation will be very, very strong in the order of low double-digit IRRs, and that's before taking into account the benefits of fee streams we derive from DWPF. So I think if you look at marginal use of capital, it's very accretive to shareholders over the next 2 to 3 years, and it gives us some great flexibility, as Darren mentioned, as to how we continue to grow the business.
And obviously it's a new building. Can you just confirm when most of the rents on these leases were agreed?
when they were agreed in terms of the existing leases struck on the South Tower?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll come back to you separately. Yeah.
But the Macquarie lease though was quite some time ago and is very under rented. So we're going to do something about that soon, Rob.
So there are about four floors. Just of how many?
Oh, 38 level tower, the South Tower.
Yeah. So Macquarie's not that material in that number. My point is, if most of these leases are fresh, for 5% to become 8%, you know, you're calling massive growth in Melbourne office rents.
Well, I think the under renting which Ross spoke about is predominantly with the resetting we can do in the North Tower, where we've got about which is circa 20% under rented, and a whole lot of that space we get access to over the next few years as we renew, as we release that space, upgrade where we can. We're going to see significant reversion, and it's not dissimilar to the exercise we've been through the last 18 months on MLC, to be honest.
And I know in the South Tower we have a further 16,000 square metres of leasing still to go, so there's plenty of opportunity for us to continue to eke out some positive reversion.
And then, look, just a final one. So Dexus's decision, obviously, to take the bulk of this themselves, what kind of happened with the capital partners? Obviously, some other groups were looking at this per the press. Did the capital partners start to pull away at final pricing? How did that sort of play out, please?
The observation, Mark, is we think this is an exceptional return for Dexus shareholders, and to be frank, we'd like to do probably more of it on balance sheet than less. I'd also note it is exceptionally complex, and the ability to bring, let's call it, new capital to the table who's not familiar and in lockstep with us is also problematic. So I think we're very pleased to be able to put more of the balance sheet to work. And as I said, the IRR over the next, let's call it, 2 to 3 years will well exceed our marginal cost of funds. So I think this will be a great return for Dexus investors. I wouldn't be surprised if we sold down 25% interest post-stabilisation, but that's not a decision that we've made today. So I think there's great opportunity for us to reset, stabilise the asset, and then bring in further capital down the path.
And just to add to Ross's comment, that we could have done 50-50 with third-party capital, but the sheer nature and complexity of the development to have more than one partner, that would be quite difficult from a management perspective.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the questions. Next question comes from the line of Sholto Maconochie from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. A lot of been answered, but just to elaborate on some of the questions asked to date. So the pass yield of 5 and equivalent yield of 5.3, how long do you think it'll take to ramp up to that sort of 5.3% mark? And is that just from the under-renting, like you know, on MLC, and leasing up the remaining space in the South Tower?
Yeah, it'll move around a bit, as one of the tenants from North moves into South, Centotex, so the yield drops back on that. We've got to reset that. So probably in a 12 to 18 month window.
Okay. And then just you said before you look at selling down, obviously potential, look at all options, but that wouldn't be till you've got all the leasing and reversions done, so at least sort of 2 years after PC, or you haven't really thought that far?
It'll be into the future. As we said, we like the metrics coming off this. It'll be into the future, but we're not setting a date or absolutely guaranteeing we'll be selling it down.
Okay, and then just on your other development site across the road, when would you look to start that? Do you have an idea on that start?
It's unlikely before 2023-24.
Okay.
But the timing works quite nicely if you think of from our leasing team's perspective. They've got obviously a lot of heavy lifting on this project, and this project fits nicely with 180 Flinders Street. So between the two, I think when we finish up on 180 Collins, we'll be out in the market, probably pre-leasing 60 across the road.
Yep. And then just on the guidance, a couple of days ago you put out the guidance and unchanged, but the sort of structure was changed. You've lowered the trading profits from, you already hit the 35, but you've got the range of 35 to 40. offers is weaker, given you've got that probably a make good or surrender payment, that timing issue, and you've got better like for like in industrial. So why isn't 20, wouldn't 20, I know it's preliminary guidance, be higher given this is accretive, and then you've got that surrender payment likely falls into 20. I'm just seeing why it wouldn't be higher than 5.
I think at this stage, you know, we're a long way out. We've given our guidance, and that's what we are guiding towards, circa 5%, and that's all we can make comment on at this point in time.
All right, that's everything for me. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jonte.
Thank you. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We have another question from the line of James Bruce from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Just a question, Darren, just on your answer to one of Rob's questions. You mentioned that you discovered something through the process of DD that gave you the confidence to take more of it on balance sheet. Can you just elaborate on what those things were?
I think it's just the strength of the metrics that were coming out. If you recall, this asset started being marketed around at about $1.8 billion, and that kind of numbers, it was a very low metric, and you know, at that point Dexus probably wasn't interested at all. At one point we weren't in the mix and we weren't going to buy this, but then the team went in, did the work, buyers dropped away because of the complexity. We were left with 3 buyers at the end, and I suppose our team, having the insights and the rental levels, gave us the confidence when the numbers were put into our feasibilities to move forward, and what you see in front of you is excellent metrics for an acquisition in that kind of location. And I think one of the reasons that we were selected was just the certainty and the track record of this team in closing very large complex transactions. So, you know, that's how we're here today. But I think we'll find that this would be an excellent acquisition for Dexus over the short to medium term.
Okay, thank you. And can you break out the cap rates for the 4 assets?
No, we're dealing with it as we do with most complexes as a single complex.
Give a sense of where you're putting the office versus the hotel and the retail. Any spread between those?
It's not, to be honest, it's not material spread.
Okay. And in your prepared remarks, you were talking about sort of other opportunities that this gives you ammunition to pursue. Can you just give us a sense of how you're thinking about those?
No, I think just, you know, as we said, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and if we can be growing earnings at 5% while maintaining gearing at 25%, we think that is an excellent place for the long-term shareholders of Dexus to be in.
And thank you.
The other point I'll just note is the quality of the portfolio, just how much is improved over the last 2 or 3 years, and we're able to do that by keeping, yeah, we're not buying high-yielding secondary assets to drive earnings. We're buying absolute quality, and the portfolio today is in far better shape than it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Thank you.
No worries. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. At this time, there are no more questions from the line. I'd like to hand the call back to the management. Please continue.
Thanks, everyone, for taking the call today. I'm sure we'll catch up with quite a few over the course of the day, and we look forward to speaking to you all then. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude the conference for today. You may now disconnect your lines.